You're listening to Matt Loves Cameras. Film cameras. Instant cameras.
And everything analog photography related.
In the second installment of Desert Island Cameras, I have the amazing, the incredible Molly Kate, also known as Eclectochrome. We talk about Molly's Desert Island picks for cameras, for film, and for that elusive luxury item. We also talk about Molly's plans for 2024 for her YouTube channel, and of course the Frugal Film Project. I'm Matt Murray, and this is Matt Loves Cameras. Hello, my friends. How are you? I hope you are well, wherever you are all around the world. Welcome to another episode of Matt Loves Cameras, and the Desert Island Cameras concept continues. This is episode number 2 of the Desert Island Cameras. Of course, we had Theo Panagopoulos from the Camerosity podcast up as the number one guinea pig. And now we're you know, full steam ahead now with Molly Kate, also known as Eclectochrome, which is, of course, the name of Molly's YouTube channel. Settle back. It'll start in a couple of minutes. And yeah, I hope you really enjoy it. It was a great conversation. Thank you so much to everyone who's watched it already on YouTube. Had a lovely comment there from Billy Sanford. And yeah, if you haven't checked out my YouTube yet, I know there's a lot of people who only like podcasts, but you know, you'd be doing me a special favor if you're not a YouTube person and you know, watch a couple of my videos. I would really love that. Of course, it's youtube.com/Matt Loves Cameras. I've got mostly film stuff on there, probably 70% of stuff on there is film cameras, film reviews, but I've also got some stuff on the Ricoh GR3, the Olympus OM1, which is the new digital OM1, not the film one, and of course bits and pieces of Fujifilm content as well on there. So yeah, I would love that if you check that out. Now, I've just got back from a trip, so I've got plenty more content coming from my newsletter, mattlovescameras.substack.com, and I've also got more videos in the pipeline. I went to China for 8 days on a very cheap trip. Gosh, we saw a lot of cool stuff. It was great spending time with my dad, my uncle, and my nephew. But gosh, there was a lot of traveling, very, very grueling traveling. So I'm very, very glad to be home, actually, because yeah, the travel was, man, I must be getting old because the travel was an absolute killer. I think the flight home, or the transit home from China, we went through 4 airports. It took 28 hours. We could have literally gone to London in less time. And China's just up the road, you know, from Australia. It's only about 10 hours. Anyway, so there you go. I did survive China. I am back. I don't think I've got any viruses or anything like that. Sadly enough, I think my uncle, who's 80, I think he actually got COVID while he was in China. So I'm hoping I don't, come down with any mystery illnesses. We didn't go to any sort of, you know, wet markets with bats or anything like that. So, and we didn't go to any laboratories to see how they make viruses over there or anything. So, the one thing I'll say about China is this. Look, I'm glad I went again. I got some good photos, both on film and on digital, but I don't think I'll be going back anytime soon. Anyway, it's time for Desert Island Cameras with Molly Kate. Here we go. Hello and welcome to another episode of Matt Loves Cameras on YouTube and on the podcast. And today, my guest is someone I've been trying to pin down for a few months now. It is Molly Kate, also known as Eclectochrome. How are you, Molly?
I'm doing really, really good. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. So Molly is joining us from New England. Is that correct?
Yes. Back in New England.
Excellent. So Molly is, I'm sure a lot of people already know who Molly is, but Molly is a photographer, very good photographer, a writer for 35mmc, and Molly has a banging YouTube channel that is closing in on 4,000 subscriptions. So Molly, what else can you tell us about yourself that I haven't covered just there in that small intro?
Oh gosh. Oh my God. Well, okay. So I don't even know what else to say, Matt. That's
that's
it.
All right.
That's all there is to me.
That's all you want to say. We can peel away the layers like onions as we go through this, right? So yeah, I think I've got
the main points.
Yeah, great. Excellent. So what we'll do now is we're going to talk about the desert island cameras concept, which I did with Theo was the guinea pig, and I've actually written down the rules in a much better way now to explain them to people, because we were talking in the pre-show chat and I feel like I didn't explain the rules of the whole concept. So here it is. I'll explain the rules again. So this is called Desert Island Cameras. It's a ripoff of the long-running BBC radio show Desert Island Discs. And here are the rules for Desert Island Cameras. You can bring 10 items to the island. The first 8 items have to be cameras or films. So you can choose 4 cameras and 4 films, or 7 cameras and 1 film, or 1 camera and 7 films. Any combination, but it's up to you. However, there are a couple of catches. The first catch is, for every camera you bring, you have to bring film for it. So if you bring an SX-70, Polaroid camera, you've got to bring the SX-70 film. And the other catch is, you have to have owned or used all of the cameras. So you can't just say, oh, I really have always wanted to use a XYZ camera. You have to have owned or used it. And then the 9th item is your favorite photography related book. And then the 10th item is for a luxury photography item not covered by any of the above. So how did you find this assignment that I gave you, Molly, in your busy life?
Oh my gosh. Okay. I mean, it was really hard. But I will say the hardest one for me was the luxury item.
Yep.
I was like, I don't know any luxury items.
I can't think of any either on top of my head. So, yeah.
So actually, but I think I have a pretty, I don't know. I kind of found it today, actually. So I don't know if it's breaking the rules, because I'm not sure if it was something that I was supposed to own or have.
Yeah, there's a bit of a gray area, because Theo chose a box of Aerochrome, which he's never owned or used. So maybe for the luxury item, you're allowed to, yeah.
Allowed to branch out.
Yeah, okay. I think that's acceptable.
All right, cool. Yeah. All right, cool.
So do you want to crack off with your first item here? What is your first item?
I'm so excited. Okay, because this one is also a new addition to the Eclectochrome collection.
Yep.
So this is the Rolleiflex MX.
Wow, very nice. So Explain this model to me. I do have a Rolleiflex. I've got a Rolleiflex T, which is like the intermediate model between the high-end Rolleiflexes and the Rollercoords, which are the more basic ones. So this is a Rolleiflex MX, did you say?
Yeah, so this is more on the basic side of things.
Yep.
So this is, and I think it's actually, So I did some research on this camera when I was looking at like different models and getting it.
Yeah.
And I think it's also called the Rolleiflex MX EVS, maybe.
Yeah.
So that the place that I got this from, it was just listed as a Rolleiflex MX, but I can't find any reviews on an MX only. So I think it's also an EVS. So,
yeah. Excellent.
So this is the 3.5. F3.5 lens, and it's not the fancy one. It's the Schneider Kreuznach. Oh, the Zenar lens.
Zenar. Yeah. Great.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if I'm holding it. In front of the camera. Okay.
I think they're all good lenses on the Rollies, though. I mean, mine's got a 3.5 Tessar, which I know isn't the really, really fancy schmancy ones, but like they take great pictures, right?
Yeah. I mean, but the Tessar one is still really good. They all take really great pictures. Like, and this one, I mean, you probably could distinguish it from the 2.8 if you were like looking super close and you're familiar with it.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know, anyone else, like, I wouldn't be able to tell.
Yeah, it's same. And what's your relationship with TLRs? Because I've had one ever since, I bought one just before my daughter was born. So I've had it almost 16 years. I bought it in the UK. I bought it from the original owner. And I had a guy in England do a CLA on it, this is back in the old days. I bought this off eBay, and everyone on these forums because there was no like Facebook groups back then. And
Matt, you're dating
forums,
yourself.
I'm dating myself.
You're dating yourself. Oh,
I'm old. I'm old, Molly. I've got a big birthday coming up this year. I'm not going to tell you what
it is.
No.
It
has a 5 in front of it, though. It's a bit scary.
No way.
So I bought this Rolleiflex off eBay. And back in the old days, people said, I'll send it to this guy down in he was down in Hampshire or somewhere in the south of England.
Yeah.
And so I bought this thing off eBay for 300 quid. And I just posted it to some random I didn't know. And you know, there's no... But he sent it back and he said, this is a beautiful Rolleiflex. It's only, you know, take care of it. And I've used it like three times because I've never, I don't know. I think I've got to get used to the whole looking through the TLR. What's your experience with doing that? Have you got a lot of experience doing it or?
I mean, not massive amounts. So when I first moved to the UK.
Yeah.
Actually maybe a year afterwards, maybe like 2021 maybe. So it all started with Vivian Maier, of course.
Yeah.
she's my inspiration.
Yeah.
So I wanted to look like her, basically.
Yeah, why not?
And I always liked them. But my first ever one I got, it was a Yashica Mat 124G.
Nice.
Which is an awesome, awesome camera. But I walked into my local camera store, total impulse buy, knew nothing about TLRs, did no research.
Yeah.
And then like oversold me. I overpaid by like a couple hundred. Yeah. And then I looked on eBay afterwards, which never do that if you don't do any research. So I kind of had this, it was an awesome camera and it took me a while to get used to it. Like the, cause everything's kind of like wonky and backwards, right? Like through the viewing screen.
Yep.
But then after a while of using it, it's a great camera, but I was like, this has bad vibes because I got ripped off.
Yeah, so you, felt like you resented the camera or?
Yeah. So I ended up selling it.
Yeah.
And then I got a Seagull TLR.
Oh, yeah.
From West Yorkshire Cameras. Yeah. Which, awesome. West Yorkshire Cameras in the UK, it's such a good place to get cameras. So I loved it. Absolutely loved it. I never would have wanted a different one, except it kind of broke, which was really sad.
Yeah.
So then I was like, all right, I need a replacement. And I always kind of wanted to see if I could get a Rolleiflex for like a good deal or like a cheap one. So then I got this one when I got back to the US.
Awesome. And, fantastic. Have you shot many like test rolls through it so far or?
Yeah. I've only had it for maybe like a couple months. And I think I've done maybe like 8 to 10 rolls.
Nice.
I have a few that are unprocessed that I need to develop, but
yeah.
And it's great. So the only thing about it though, is that the focusing screen is really dim.
Yeah.
That's the only negative thing. Everything else is awesome. Like the lens is awesome. And actually like the quality of the pieces, I'm going from like, I mean, the Seagull is a great camera, but going from the Seagull to the Rolleiflex is definitely like
a step up.
Yeah. So it just feels so nice.
Yeah.
So yeah, I love it.
I still have pictures of when I first got this camera, I did a test roll and then I did did a few test rolls. I used to shoot slide film in 120. And I have these pictures somewhere on disk in here of my wife and my daughter in England when she was really small. And these beautiful pictures, they look sort of 3D. The mistake I think I made with the Rolleiflex when I got it was I used to shoot, a lot of people these days shoot very shallow depth of field.
Yeah.
And so I was putting that thing on the 3.5 or whatever it was, the most shallowest depth of field. And I think I was expecting to nail focus all the time on that screen. Mm. And it's actually, I found out the hard way, really hard. Yep.
It's so hard. Yeah.
So I think when I do get it back out, I think I'll be shooting F8 or something like that and make sure everything's in focus. So, but no, it's a wonderful camera. And I have been thinking lately I need to get my Rolly back out. So that's a great first choice, the Rolleiflex MX.
Yeah, get it back out. Yeah. And life is more beautiful through the view of a waist level viewfinder.
That's true. Do you have any, of those like Nikons where you can do that? Look down through the viewfinder?
I used to.
Yeah.
I used to have a Nikon F3 or nice. Nikon. Nikon.
Yeah.
Now that I'm back in America.
You gotta adopt the American.
The American
way
is coming back to me.
Yeah,
so the F3. But what I found with that one is that it's so small.
Yeah.
For me, it was really hard to kind of see the focus with that.
Yep. It's a good thing for TikTok and for reels and stuff, isn't it? To have a lot of people do that. But actual use, it's like those ones.
Yeah.
I did a video like with the point and shoots with the little viewfinders, but they're a fun gimmick, but they're kind of the Canon one I have is pretty useless. So
unless you've got like a magnifying glass or something
like that. Yes, and with these Coke bottle glasses, there's absolutely no chance of that. So
yeah, those are fun though.
It is very fun, yeah. So what's number two on your Desert Island camera list?
All right, so number two and three are actually films the Rolleiflex.
Mm.
Okay, so I felt a little like colorful with the whole like Desert Island. You know, hopefully there's good weather. I'm assuming there's good weather there.
I hope so, yeah.
So I'm going to bring Lomography purple and turquoise.
Ooh. Oh, wow. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah, brilliant.
Yep. Yeah.
It's great. And so which one of those two would be your favorites? I mean, you can bring, you can definitely bring both the Desert Island. But if someone said to you right now, I mean, you've got a purple background going on there, Molly, but which
it's
one would
be
purple. Your, so purple is your choice, do you think? Or?
Yeah, I think it would definitely be purple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what about it do you kind of love so much?
So, I mean, turquoise is awesome, but there's not much that's, I mean, I definitely like the purple colors better.
Yeah.
But what I also like about purple is that if you shoot it with like fall colors, autumn colors.
Yeah.
I can't remember. So, okay. So greens go purple, right?
Yeah. I can't remember now.
I'm trying to remember my images. But I
remember I wrote it in a review. I did a review on it. I wrote all this stuff down, but I'm trying to actually kind of remember myself. So this is according to their website. Blue becomes green.
I'll have to
cut this bit out, Molly. So my faffing around. Here we go. To quote Lomography, blue becomes green, green becomes purple, and yellow becomes pink. Red tones stay red.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. So I was trying to remember the color stuff, but I like that some colors stay the same and then others change. So you can really get creative with like shots and like, I mean, if you wanted to do something and make it basically like all pink, you could, or if you wanted to have like just different, it's very like psychedelic almost. It's just a lot of fun. I just really like the color changes and it's very different than,
For sure. And I'm just looking at my review here on my website and I took one at the beach, one of the local beaches. So this is going into the Desert Island thing and the goldeny sort of sands become very pink, like gold, pink hued, and the sky has gone from blue to sort of turquoisey teal. So yeah, it does definitely, I think it would make for a great film to take to a desert island. So,
yeah, definitely. Yeah. Just a bit of fun.
Yeah. And what about turquoise? What's your sort of your shooting plan with that on the desert island?
Well, so I did a turquoise review on my channel and I found my favorite photos were, I mean, when it's, most film works really well when it's like super bright out and super sunny. But my favorite photos were like clear blue sky.
Yeah.
And then like just like tan cut, like, was it neutral colors or something that?
Yep.
And the greens as well look really nice because I shot a bunch of like green bushes on that. Yep. And it just, so I'm just picturing like Desert Island, like that. I feel like that's a perfect place to shoot.
Yeah.
Like both turquoise and purple, but Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. I think with turquoise, I don't think I like it as much as purple, but I remember some of the landscape pictures I took of the coast here in Queensland. And yeah, some of them were like, wow, these look great. Like just the, you know, the waves and the beach and the rocks and the trees. And yeah. So I must admit, I haven't shot, I think I've still got a couple of rolls left, but I didn't shoot it as much as purple. But again, every time I talk to people and talk about different cameras and films, I get back into this. Oh, I need to get that back out.
Get it out. Yeah.
That's right. Not enough cameras and film and time, is there?
Not enough time.
Yeah. So what's your number four on your list, Molly?
Okay, so I have to, all right, so I've got my list on my phone, so I have to make sure I'm going in the right order. Oh, wait, okay, I know what it is. All right, so I don't have a show and tell for this.
That's all right.
But it is a camera that I used to have.
Yeah.
So it's a Minolta Weathermatic 35mm version.
Yes, nice yellow
And I
camera.
Also, yeah, yes, bright yellow.
Yeah.
So you won't lose it in the water.
Yeah.
Waterproof. As long as it's not too old and the seals are still in good shape. But it's, And it takes awesome pictures too.
Does it have two lenses on it? Like one that goes in and out or not? Is there any single one?
No, I think it's just a fixed one.
I must
one.
Be confusing it with another camera. I've always wanted that one. I bought one once from a guy at a garage sale, and it was full of rust and fungus and stuff. Oh. So tell me about yours. What happened to yours that why you don't have it anymore?
Well, I think I just didn't use it.
Ah, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I was living in the UK, so
I got it.
You
did a review around Cardiff. Didn't you walk around Cardiff in the rain taking photos with it?
Okay, so that was the 110 version.
Oh, okay, right, yeah. Sorry.
So when I was making the list, I was like, ooh, do I bring 110 or 35 millimeter?
Yeah.
But I ended up going with the 35 millimeter because you can get more shots and more crispy shots.
Yeah.
Not that I necessarily go for crispy photos because I do like some like lo-fi stuff. But yeah, I end up going with the 35. But yeah, the 110 is awesome too. And I walked around in the rain and that was so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause that's a pretty rainy place, Wales.
It's good to have a waterproof camera.
Yeah, yeah. But I didn't end up using the 35 when I had it. So I was like, and sometimes I go into like a purge mode and I'm like, right, I'm not using this stuff. Got to get rid of it. Some room. Yeah.
Yeah.
For new ones.
So is that a camera that you sort of regret selling, do you think? Like we all have little things.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yep.
Cool. So absolutely. You reunited on the desert island with the Minolta Weathermatic 35 millimeter camera. Great. So what is your 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth choice?
Okay. All right, so this one, and I was thinking of like shooting underwater with it. It's a film. So it's a film soup by Hannah Logital.
Oh, I've never heard of this. Tell me about it.
I think I'm saying that right. Hannah Logital.
Yeah.
Is so there's a person in Germany, I believe, and they make film souped films.
Yeah.
With I believe it's Kodak Gold.
Yeah.
And so they do like a seasonal, they use like seasonal things like plants and flowers and like different ingredients. Yeah. And so they soup the film and it looks so cool. So it's like, it's got all these like waves of like different colors.
Yeah.
And it's again, going back to like the really kind of like trippy psychedelic vibes.
Sure.
I've never done any of those but I like the colors.
So when I just Googled film soup, Hannah Logical, and I spelled it wrong, but your video came up as the first result, which is great. Trying Hannah Logital's film soup. And you look like you're at some kind of fair or something in the preview there with a little camera there. Nice. And tell me about it. Can you send it to a lab? Like I know with normal, if you soup your own film, you can't really send it to a lab unless you tell them because it'll screw up all their chemicals. So what about this one? Can you send it normally to a lab or?
Not normally. And you definitely, if you're thinking about possibly sending it to a lab, you've got to ask them first.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. You got to ask them. And also I think it was said, I can't remember where I found this, but someone was saying, put it in a camera. I mean, the Hannah Logital film soups, like she's got a pretty good system down and like the film should be dry. But sometimes when you do film soup, it might not be dry all the way. So you got to put it in a camera that you're not worried about ruining.
Yes. Yeah, I've heard that as well. Yeah.
The camera you've
chosen here looks pretty fancy. What camera was that?
Oh, the Fed 2.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. It looks like a bit of a, I was about to say, it looks like a bit of a tank. So yeah, very cool. Yeah. Awesome.
It's a beautiful camera.
Great. And how many rolls of that Hannah Logital film soup have you shot?
So I've shot so far 3. Oh no.
Awesome.
4. Yeah. but some of them actually, so they do, Hannah Logital also does pre-exposed films.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
So along the likes of Double and those other people who do those kind of ones.
Something like, yeah. And my favorite one, I think it's called Bokeh.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Is it and like it's like little bubbles of
light. Yeah. Okay, yeah. It's awesome. So cool. Yeah. So I've tried Opal, which is really nice. And then the one I like that I would bring, it's like summer, I think it was summer 2022.
Yeah.
So they do different, every season they do like a fresh batch of like that season's seasonal ingredients. I feel like I'm saying season a lot, but yeah, it's so cool.
Yeah. Excellent. So that's number 5. Is that right? I've lost track of the numbers. Yeah. Excellent. So what's number six?
Okay. All right. So number six is Double Film Apollo.
Oh, another one I have never used. Yeah. Tell me about that one.
Okay. So it has, so Double Film, they do some like color effects on their film, right? So Apollo is very kind of like purpley brown, yellowish.
Yeah.
Sort of like tones on the image. I actually did a video on it in Cardiff as well. But I would love to shoot it because I kind of shot it on an urban landscape on a cloudy day.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like, I would love to shoot it on like a desert island. I feel like it would be really, really good for there. But yeah, it's like cool color tone.
It does very sort of warm. I'm looking at the images now on the Double Film website, and there's a nice one of some kind of flamingo kind of boat that you go in the ocean with.
And oh, yeah.
Car, and yeah, it does look very, like, very warm tones to it. And yeah, I think it would definitely suit the desert island. So that's great. I actually have, I think, I'm pretty sure I've got a couple of rolls of Double Film in my fridge that have been there for, I reckon, 3 or 4 years. So I probably should get them out as well.
Yeah.
And I've got, honestly, I've got a backlog of so many things I need to shoot. But then do you find that, like, you go through a phase where I'm going to shoot all this camera and I'm going to shoot all these films, but then you've got a backlog of things you need to review. And then you're like, then 6 months later, you go, oh, I shot that film in that camera and I've never done a review of it. Do you find you have a bit of a backlog with stuff or?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's always seems to be like new stuff to test out and like try. So, and like, I'm actually like I'm not that far behind. I'm trying to catch up now. Cause I've got like so many, there's so many different cool films you can try. Like I've had this film Snowblocks. Do you know it by like Revlog?
Yes, I've shot Revlog before. I don't think that one though.
Yeah, so it's pre-exposed to look like snow on the image.
Oh wow!
But I've had that like, and I've been waiting. There's lots of things like that, like really creative films or cameras and stuff to get through.
Yeah.
And when you're making videos on it, like, as you know, doing it for YouTube, it takes, that's like a lot more time, a lot more to get through for each thing.
And that's the thing, like sometimes I'll shoot a film and I'll think, oh, I made a mistake with it, or I didn't realize it would look exactly like that. I want to shoot another roll of it before I do a review because I don't feel like I've got enough good shots.
Yeah.
So then you've done it, but then, oh, I've got to buy another roll. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's all this kind of, sometimes you sort of doubt yourself and, I'm not going to give it a good review if I just go on these pictures. I mean, one thing is with me, I think I've got about sort of 40 or 50 video ideas, either things I've already shot or things I could shoot very easily by going to my fridge and going to my camera shelf. How many video ideas do you have at any one time?
Gosh, it's like, and I mean, it's just basically like what's in the fridge, what's on my shelf, what's coming out, like what do I want to buy? Because that also, like, there's a backlog in things that I want to, like, because film, you know, I've got like a budget for it, so and it's like, all right, well, I can't get, I've just got all this stuff, so I'll have to wait to get this stuff, like, you know, next month. So I mean, it's like everything is an idea, so I probably, like, I don't know. At one time, I mean, I usually have like six or so videos like in progress at once.
Yes.
But like beyond that, there's like, I don't know, like 30 ideas, like potentials. So it can get pretty like overwhelming, especially if you get busy with like other things in life, and then you kind of don't have as much time to get to that stuff. So but it's good. It's all good stuff. Like,
I was talking to Dave about this, Dave Mahaly, the old camera guy.
Yeah.
I interviewed him, and like, I kind of go into something going, right, I'm going to take lots of B-roll because I've got this video idea. And but then when I look back at the footage I took, I'm like, I said the wrong thing on camera and I can't use that because that's not what so I kind of then become tortured with, how do I, like, I might just do a voiceover. I should put some B-roll in there and I'll do a voiceover, but it becomes this whole art form of how do you introduce this topic with the footage that you managed to take on the day and the photos you got. And it can be a real, And like I usually have, like you, I have five. I think I've got about four videos in Premiere Pro at the moment, anywhere from 10% to 80%. And the 80% ones, I'm like, oh, I just want to finish this. This is so annoying, but I haven't been able to finish it off just yet.
Hey, have you signed up for my dad's photography newsletter? Check it out at mattlovescameras.substack.com. It features camera reviews, film reviews, and lots of travel photography. You can read it for free, but if you upgrade, you can instantly access 6 film photography zines in PDF format. How wonderful! Check it out now at mattlovescameras.substack.com.
So I will ask you towards the end, after we do our Desert Island stuff, I'll ask you a bit more about your channel and plans for the coming year. But I think are we up to slot number 7? Is that right? Or
yes. Okay. And I'm really excited about this one. And it is show and tell. So this is the Lomo Instant. Wait, hold on. Make sure I'm saying it right. The Lomo Instant Square Glass.
I have seen this in a recent video you shot.
Yes. So it actually, for the YouTube people who can see this, it like pops out.
It's pretty cool.
So it folds in super thin.
Yeah.
And then to actually shoot it, it kind of, I'm looking at my screen, making sure I'm showing it. Okay.
Yeah. So it's probably, how many, I don't know, what's that about? 6-8 inches? It goes from being quite a couple inches thick to like 6-8 inches coming out pretty much. That sounds really weird.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So,
But that it does go from super slim to this extended lens, similar to how the Mint camera also does that, the Mint RF 70, which I recently just sold. Yes, I sold it. I wasn't using it. It's a rangefinder. Is that a rangefinder or is that like a scale focus?
No, this is a scale focus. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So the Mint one's a rangefinder. And with my eyes, when I bought the camera, the Mint RF 70, great camera, but I never used to wear glasses. And now that my glasses, I can't even see without these anymore. It just wasn't fun. So I sold it. I was a bit sad about selling it. But tell me about that camera. Like I watched the video. You went around a very picturesque town. It looked very, it looked almost English, the town you went around.
Yeah. Well, it's called Portsmouth, is an English name. And it's an older American colonial town. And so everywhere you go, there's just these incredibly preserved colonial houses and buildings. And it's just gorgeous. And it's right on the ocean.
Yeah.
So there's like a harbor and there's like seaside restaurants and it's got really good like seafood.
Yep.
So it's a really cool place.
Looked pretty chilly.
It was cold. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So in New Hampshire, it can probably get, I think it was maybe like, we're in like 20s and 30s now, like Fahrenheit, which is like what?
About freezing. Euro,
about freezing. Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
And so one thing I was really curious to learn while watching the video you shot with that Lomo camera, the instant one, is it called Lomo Instant Square? Is that the name of the camera?
Yeah. It's the Lomo Instant Square Glass.
Okay. Yeah. Cause it's got a glass lens.
I just call it Lomo Instant Square or the Lomo Square.
It's better. Yeah. It comes off the tongue a bit better. So the one thing, the trick, the extending lens going from super slim to, you know, having the lens extended, that's not its best trick though. It's got a better trick than that, hasn't it? It takes two different types of film.
Yes. Yes.
How cool is that?
Yeah. So it takes Instax Mini and Instax Square, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And I wish it took Instax Wide because that would be like,
And which one do you tend to shoot more in it?
Oh, definitely the square.
Yeah.
Because it's easier to frame.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. The mini is a little bit hard. It's a little bit more awkward to get the right framing. I mean, you can still do it. And
yeah. You got less room to sort of play with. And
Yeah.
Excellent. So are we up to, was that number 7?
Yeah, but my number 8 is the it goes with this
square film.
So it would be the square film.
Excellent, that's brilliant. So that they are 8 excellent choices so far, and so now we're gonna roll on to your photography book. Something to keep you company on the desert island.
Yes, and I'm really excited about this one. So I'm sorry I don't have it for show and tell because I left it in Wales. I need to go back and get it. But it's Women Street Photographers.
Yeah.
And it was compiled by Gulnara Salmanova. I feel like I always pronounce her name wrong. So
yeah.
Yeah. And it's a collection of a bunch of different women street photographers and their work. So like everybody has, if you're looking it up, it's,
I am,
like everybody kind of has like a page. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like bright orange. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is an ongoing, is this an ongoing project by the look of it?
Yeah. So they started out with, it's kind of like a, I don't know what the right word for it is, like a collective or a group or an organization that kind of like supports or educates or inspires all around the idea of women street photographers. So they're, I think Gulnara is based in New York City, mm-hmm. I believe. But then they made a book of sort of like all their, I don't know if I want to say members, because I don't think it's not like a club. It's like, I don't really know how to describe it. You could probably describe it better from the webpage you're looking
at. Yeah, just as a platform of well-curated quality street photography by women worldwide. And if you put women street photographers in Google, it's a number one thing, is linked there to buy a copy of their book. But I think when you go onto it, the website, the first thing it says is there's an exhibition and there's a deadline, February 12th, which is a couple of days time. So yeah, wow, interesting. I did not know about this. There you go.
So yeah, they always do exhibitions. So that book, so I love street photography. So I was thinking, all right, well, I can't do street photography on the island. So I'll have something to sort of, you know, keep me, like, have that part still there.
Inspired. And yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Excellent. That's brilliant. So then what is, let's talk about street photography. I know you've you've done quite a few travel videos, and I think you've been to sort of the form of what we used to call Eastern Europe, and you've been to Portugal and other places, and obviously places around the UK. Where is your, would you say, I would have thought that those photos that I've seen are more as more travel photos, but do you see them more as street or a combination of both? Or,
well, so actually, and I don't know if I should say this. No, it'll be fine. But I've done most of my street photography on digital, so I haven't actually shown
all photography is welcome at Matt Loves Cameras. It's cool.
Great. Awesome. Yeah. That's what I like about you, Matt. You don't judge.
No, not at all.
Yeah. So I've done most of it on digital, so I haven't actually shared a lot of that on the film stuff in the YouTube channel, except for the Krakow, Poland video I shared like at the end.
Yeah.
But most of the film shots, I would definitely say most of the film stuff is more travel, less street, still a little bit of street, but more travel.
So that's the thing I love about travel photography, is it does incorporate cityscape, landscape, street, food, everything, you can sort of encapsulate everything, can't it? Interesting that, like, what would happen, do you think? Would the universe implode, for example, on a channel like yours, which is all about film photography and proudly so? What if you did a video about digital photography? How do you think, what do you think your viewers, do you think there'll be pitchforks coming after you, Molly? Or
I think some of them probably yes. but the ones that I know, no.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are also shoot digital.
Yeah.
Shoot mirrorless. Yeah. A lot of people I've like chatted to, talked to, everyone kind of shoots a little bit of both.
Yeah.
I'm sure there will be like one or two people with pitchforks. being like, oh, come on. But I think the most of like the people that I love to like talk to and interact with that watch the videos, they're just so nice and chill, and they're like, I mean, get it, you know, you got to shoot some digital to offset the costs sometimes. especially in street photography.
Ah, for sure. Yeah, the amount of shots you take and against the ones you love and the ones that didn't turn out. I remember listening to Mike Gutterman once on his Neg Post podcast, and I think he was talking about digital shooters, I think it was, and he was talking about digital shooters who get all angry about film. And why would I bother doing that? But I think he sort of raised the point, how could you be interested in photography and then there's a whole thing over here, oh, no, I hate that, I don't want to do it. Like, it is a bit weird, isn't it? Like, I mean, I have no interest personally in, say, the wet plates, because I just have no patience for that personally.
Yeah.
I think it's great. Whoever does it, brilliant. But, there are things definitely I lean more towards. So the one thing I do think that is good about having a channel like yours, I mean, mine is a mixed channel. Most of it's film, but there's the odd bit of digital on there. Yours is all film. I think, in a way, if you have a channel about one thing, it's easier to sort of pitch it to people, whereas mine, they might come and go, this guy shoots film and he's also got something about the Ricoh GR3 digital camera. And so do you think, is that why you've kept your channel mostly to film, just because it fits neatly and people will be looking for that and they know what they're going to get? Or do you think one day you might branch out and do other things on there?
I would definitely keep it open, like, to do different stuff. I do think, I mean, I've gone back and forth on this loads. like, you know, should I do some digital stuff? Should I not do just some digital stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of ended up shooting less and less and less digital anyways. So I kind of, now that, I mean, my channel is all film, but now I'm kind of all film.
Yeah.
The way that I've gone. Cause when I left the UK, I sold my last digital camera and I was I'm not doing any more like fashion or portrait shoots or,
yeah,
because I used to do like some weddings and like concerts.
Yeah.
But I was like, nah, I'm going to just take a break from that for now. But I would do it in the future. I think it would probably be hard though, because most people are looking for the film stuff. But I don't. Oh my gosh, I could talk for an hour on this. Cause you don't want to be, if you like doing multiple things, like I like your channel because you do both. So you've got that variety. And you always keep it like, you keep it the way that you do things, like the matte style. So you could do any, like, okay, certain channels. Okay. Like for example, like for yours, cause I love your channel. Like you could do anything and I would probably I would watch the video.
Yeah.
It depends. Anything is a big thing. Yeah.
Stuff about cricket, maybe, where you draw the line, but anything photography related or camera, you'd be all right. Okay.
Yeah. Or like travel related. Like if you did a travel video with no cameras and stuff, I would still watch it. Because like you're a good presenter and I like your style and I like you. So yeah. But I think if you don't have that connection with the channel, you might not, you wouldn't watch that if somebody did something different.
Yeah.
So that's kind of hard. Like, you know, you know how people post polls all the time, like, hey, if I did this other kind of content, would you still want it or watch it? And most of the responses are like, yeah, do whatever you want. Like, we'll still be here.
Yeah.
But that's like your core kind of group, right?
I think it's definitely, you have a core audience that watch you all the time. And then there's people who'll just literally come in from Google or somewhere else and find you for one video, and they might subscribe because they like you. They might not. It's difficult. Hey, it's difficult. And this is the thing, when I just do videos about the stuff I love. So I love digital. I love film, but I'm completely aware of the fact that I'm not really doing YouTube very well, because all the people sort of niche down and, like, you know, there's people on, say, Olympus. I've got this Olympus digital camera. And if you go on the Facebook groups for that, people will say, go to Robin Wong. Robin Wong's a great, and he's a really good,
he is.
He's got a great channel. But I think he mostly does stuff about that one brand. I could be completely wrong. I've only watched a few of his videos, but there are people who do they just do stuff about Fujifilm. They just do stuff about, you know, this or that or the other. So it's interesting that I think a lot of those really, really popular channels do have this niche they sort of stick to, perhaps. And I feel like I kind of do YouTube wrong, but I just do it because I like it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's like, it depends on how, like, why you want to do it, right? So if you're doing it because you like it, then do whatever you want.
That's the best reason, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And you should do it because you should do it because you like it. Wait, hold on. I don't know if my grammar is right.
No, that's, I think that makes sense.
It's clearly I'm getting a little tired. Because if you don't like it, I mean, it takes so much time to do a video. Like, if you don't like it, that's going to be a rough going. So,
have you ever made a video and then just canned it? Went, no, I hate that. I don't want to put that out.
Oh. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I look back at my first videos.
Yeah.
And they're awful. So
no, they're not. They're not. That's the funny thing is.
They are.
I think they're awful too. When we look back at our own videos, but other people were like, oh, it's Molly. Like, Molly's talking about X, Y, Z. It's cool. Like, but then you look back at yourself.
Well, I'm glad that's what you think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. That's a good, have you ever done one and then binned it?
Yeah. The first one I ever did, I binned. So the first one I ever did was the Fujifilm GA645 medium format camera.
Oh, yeah.
And because I did it, hated it, binned it. And then I think I published it about 6 months ago. I found it again in Premiere Pro and I'm like, I've done like 80% of the work and the photos are good. Like, my presenting's crap, but the photos are good. I'm just going to put it out. So it's actually, I think it's coming up to 1,000 views. So I think it's a camera that people search for. So hopefully someone somewhere will get some good info out of it. We'll talk about your channel a bit more in a bit, but because we've got one more thing to round off the desert island, and that is the 10th luxury item.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to have to show this to you. Now, I don't have it, but I found it. But this was the most luxury thing I could think of.
Yeah. Okay.
So this is
a
camera bag.
No way.
Made by Louis Vuitton.
Wow.
I think.
Yeah. So it looks like a regular 8 sort of camera. Like, always, is it a 16 camera? Or yeah, that's what it looks like.
It either looks like a really big, right? Did you say a Super 8 camera?
Yeah, it does look like a Super 8 or a regular 8, but then I don't know my vintage movie cameras. So it could be a 16 millimeter camera or
I don't know them very well, but
that's but amazing. Actually, I never seen that before.
So it has a camera on the inside of the bag.
Really?
In that camera attachment, and it connects to your phone.
No way.
Yeah. And so you can actually take video with it.
Oh my gosh. So is this a new thing or has this been out a while or?
No. So, okay. So when I was reading the article, I think the article came out last summer.
Yeah.
And I can't believe I haven't seen this before. Yeah. Louis Vuitton.
Yeah.
With Kids Super, ingenious camera bag, a camera functions and a handbag. Yeah. Yeah. So, but I can't believe I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's very cool. You might get a bit of sand in it though, on the desert island.
That's all right.
That's all right. You can hoover it out.
Louis can handle a bit of sand.
<That's right. laughs> Excellent. So that's a very good 10th item. And what I love about this is, like, both you and Theo, the two I've done so far, both completely different stuff that I would never have thought of in some cases. So it's really interesting to talk to people and get their take on this. So thank you so much for doing that. I've really enjoyed listening to your 10 desert island items. Would you like to repeat them all? If you've got a list there, could you please repeat them all back? 1 to 10.
All right. So let me pull up my list. All right. So 1 to 10. 1 was the Rolleiflex MX. And then 2 and 3 were Lomography Purple and Turquoise in 120 for the Rolleiflex. Number 4 was the Minolta Weathermatic 35 millimeter version with 5 and 6 Hanalogitals film suit film summer 2022 and double film Apollo. And then 7 and 8 Lomo Instant Square Glass with the Instant Square film. Oh, I forgot to mention.
Yeah.
Hold on. I'll put a pin in this and then come back. So 9 was the Women's Street Photographers book and 10 was the Louis Vuitton movie camera handbag / camera.
Very cool.
So on the Instant Square film, I was going to ask you if this was a cheat, but I was going to say, can I bring 100 pack instead of a regular 20 pack?
Oh yeah. I think it's a given that whatever film you bring, you get like as much as you can shoot. You could bring a. And also you haven't got to worry about development and scanning as well. That's all like taken care of by some magic thing on the island. So you can bring as much film as you want. Like, you just have to say the name of the brand of the film. So that's cool. You bring 1,000 pack of Instax Square.
Yeah.
keep you happy.
10,000 pack.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Matt. I mean, that's such a fun idea.
Yeah, so I'm happy to do this with a few more people just to see what other people, yeah, how they take on it. But I'm really really privileged and happy to have you on here as the second person doing this, Molly. Actually, I think you were not the first. I've been trying to track you down for a while.
Yeah, I know. I think we had we were going to do it before, but then
we had to reschedule. That was my fault. Yeah. So I've just got a couple more questions. I know it's getting late there, but I've got a couple more questions. If you've got another 5 minutes, is that all right?
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic. I mean, you could have another 30 if you wanted.
Excellent. Okay.
And then I'll probably be in bed.
Yes. So your channel is doing really well at the moment. You're closing in on 4,000 subscriptions to your YouTube channel, Eclecticrome. Well, tell us about the name Eclecticrome, and also tell us about, you know, do you have any special plans for 2024 for the channel?
Oh, okay. All right. So the name, I know it's like hard to say and spell, but I was trying to think of something unique because like Molly, so my name is Molly Kate, and it's taken by like 5 different Molly Kates that are also photographers.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, all right, I got to have something different that people can just Google one thing and it'll pop up. Just thinking for like ages and like nothing was coming, nothing was working. I tried like loads of different things. One of my friends was like, he laughed because I'll change my Instagram handle like, I used to change my Instagram handle every like 3 months. Wow. Yeah, this going back like quite a few years. And then one day, I think I was looking at something for Ektachrome. And yes. I was like, oh, well, I'm pretty like eclectic. Like I love doing loads of different things. And I wanted to make it like more general, like so that I could do loads of different things and not have like a name like Rolleiflex.
Yeah, and YouTube ties you into that channel. One thing. Yeah. And then, yeah, you want to shoot a Hasselblad and, oh, no.
Yeah. What are the Rolleiflex people going to think? Yeah. So then it just kind of came, just popped in like Eclecticrome. And so that's kind of where that came from. So,
real.
Yeah. Oh, 2024 plans. Okay. So I need to finish the Frugal Film Project for 2024.
Yeah. Wait, remind me what you're shooting again.
Oh, so I'm shooting the Holga.
That's right. Yeah.
GCFN. Yep.
The black and white film.
Kodak Gold.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, I think there's a few Holga shooters in the group. Is that right?
Yes.
From memory.
Yeah.
I remember seeing someone's and they were black and white, but I remember yours. Yours were really nice. Yours were really cool. You had a very sort of gold, like, goldeny dark kind of thing going on with your January photos, didn't you?
Yeah, the arcade.
Yes, yeah, that was good. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I thought they came out really bad,
I think there's almost a thing with a lot of the people in the Frugal Film Project now. I think it's almost like also a Frugal / toy camera group because and I'm using the Mute, the Olympus Stylus Epic, but I'm only 1 month to 2 months in almost. I'm kind of regretting using it. I wish I'd used something a bit weirder because anyway,
if it breaks,
let's hope not. It's worth a few bobs, so I don't want to break it. I look around, like I've got this other, someone's actually using one of these, but I said to myself, this is a super sampler. Cool. It takes the 4 photos side by side, and someone else in the group's using one of these, and I was like, oh, I almost used this and I didn't. I thought 12 months while I get sick of it. But anyway, you've got the amazing Holga. And your purple light's gone out in the background.
Oh, no. Oh, it went out. It went out. So how long was that? How long did it last?
It lasted always just under an hour. That's pretty good.
All right. That's all right. That was full power to zero. Yeah. So the Holga is awesome. It's so much fun.
Which one is your Holga? Is yours is one of the original OG ones, or is it more recent sort of one with different things going on with it? Or because there's so many models, isn't there? I'm putting you on the spot here.
No, that's all right. So it's the glass lens one.
Oh, sweet.
Yep, that has the color flash as well.
Yeah.
And actually, so I have a few things from different people. Like, so there's a her name is Analog Katja on Instagram, and she 3D prints Holga accessories. So I have a splitzer from her, and also something where you can use a cable release for the bulb shutter on the Holga. It's this sort of, it's the GCFM, cool. But then, I've got those like accessories. which is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And have you done many long exposures with the Holger yet or?
Not yet. So I'm saving that for like a later month. Yeah. But this month I did do, so for February, I did some of the Switzer and I need to develop it.
You're listening to
Matt Loves Cameras.
That's the one you're going to use.
I'm just looking at the photos here that you posted in the Frugal Film Project 24 group. And of course, you've also got a video on your channel. Yeah, there's a real like retro. Obviously, you know, they're taking the arcade, some of them, but it's a very sort of goldeny brown kind of rich feel to the ones without the flash, which looks super cool. So
yeah,
very nice. Brilliant. And yeah, I feel like with my, I'm using Color Plus, but I feel like I might try and, I see there's no ISO in the Olympus Stylus Epic. I can't change the ISO on it, but I feel like I want to somehow put a DX sticker on it and maybe shoot it at 800 for some night shots and just do something. I want to do something a bit different with it because it takes great photos, but I just feel like they're boring. Like compared to everyone else's, we've got these amazing kind of, you know, toy camera vibes and retro feels and long exposures and intentional camera movement. I'm just getting bogged down to pictures out of this. So no, I feel like I got to mix it up a bit. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean the DX code sticker would be amazing to do like different things. And
have you mucked around with DX code stickers at all? Or?
No, so I've gotten some from some of like the Respool films.
Oh yeah,
Give it them to you like extra.
Yeah,
but I've never actually put one on something that was different, which would be really cool to see.
I've done it, but I found it hard to get it in the right spot. Because if you don't get it in the right spot, you could be wasting a roll of film. And luckily I have one of my cameras, my Natura, it'll actually, if you put a 1600 sticker on it and you put it in the camera, a little thing will flash up so you know you've done it right.
Oh, nice.
So, but I don't have that luxury. So I could put a 1600 sticker on this, the Stylus Epic, and then shoot it, ask the lab to push it two stops. And if I haven't put the DX sticker on properly, it'll be completely overexposed. So I've got to try and figure out a way to somehow do something cool with this stuff.
Oh gosh.
So yeah.
Yeah. Or like can you put any filters on it or does it
the lens goes in and out when it focuses?
Okay.
So yeah, it's one of those quandaries I found myself in because it's, you know, it's this point and shoot that a lot of people want. So I think people are going to expect some banging photos, but so far they're just pretty bog standard. So I stuck my own grave here. Like these fine pictures that look fine, but are just a bit boring. So, yeah. So,
I mean, I thought they were great. Like, so that was, didn't you go somewhere for that to an island?
Yeah, we went to North Stradbroke Island, which is the same place where I shot the turquoise review a year back. And I also shot a roll of FK-25 there, Alex Lux from the Classic Camera Revival very kindly processed and scanned for me.
I haven't heard of that.
Yeah, so FK is like a Croatian film, I think it is. Cool. And so this was a really out of date film. So yeah, I've shot a few rolls of film, but the ones I shot with the Stylus were, the typical beach scenes and stuff. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're both hoping to get through the Frugal Film Project unscathed this year. Is there anything else you got lined up on the Eclectochrome YouTube channel?
So there's a few things.
Yeah.
I got recently. So I'm very soon coming out with like some ECN2 developing kit from Flickfilm.
Yeah.
So I'm reviewing that. And then there's some film from Portugal, Cinema.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
I'll be shooting some of their film as well.
That's awesome. Yeah. So looking forward to that. And then also someone from Australia who was very nice sent me this.
Oh, hooray!
So Speed 400,
yeah, which is a traffic film.
And I've got, actually that person was you, obviously. For the people, I should explain myself. And I'm saving the candy that you got me for a special because I'm trying not to have sugar, but that's for this weekend.
Understandable. The Australian candy may have hopefully it arrived okay. The Japanese candy is for novelty value only because it's like, here is one of the things I sent you, which is you can't actually see it because my screen's blurred, but it's actually it's like a camera suite. Why isn't there we go.
Yeah.
It's a camera looking suite. They are rock hard. Almost broke my teeth on them when I thought they were like Skittles or something, and I put one in my mouth and almost had to book a trip to the emergency dentist. So it's for novelty value mainly, I think. Excellent. So you've got quite a few things coming up in the channel. Is there anything, any other projects you'll be doing or any other kind of, you know, things you're looking forward to?
Yeah. I'm also going to try to do the new like 12 months on film
project
that came out. Which is, it's a different, you shoot a different camera and a different film every month, I think it is.
Yep.
So I'm going to try and do that because I do that anyways. I shoot a lot anyways. Same. So. And that's actually run by the same person who does the Hologa accessories.
Very cool.
The Analog Kacha.
Yeah.
And I think
what's the deal with that? Like, do we have to get our results out by a certain, like, I've already done that for January, I suppose. Oh, it's only the 10th of February, isn't it? I'm thinking it's like the end of February. It's the 10th of February. Yeah. So, okay, we've still got time to do January for that.
Yeah.
2 months on film. Okay, good. You haven't done a video on that yet, have you?
Or? No. I don't know if I'm going to do videos on those just because there's like so much, so many videos to do. I also want to review the Lomography Digitalizer.
Oh yeah.
So I got that to review. So there's like so much.
Is that the scanning thing?
Yep. Yeah.
So I've got one. Yeah. Actually, I've got two. I've got the 110 one and got the 35mm one for scanning sprockets. I've got a Lomography sprocket rocket up here somewhere. Which is a cool camera. So
Yeah. Yeah, those are so cool. I would love to shoot one of those.
Yeah. It's a funny thing. I bought it for a competition I ran on my podcast, and I don't think I've used it since, which is pretty bad. But what about your other plans? So are you still running for 35mm?
Yeah. So I think I might take a little bit of a break at the moment. But still, I have been still writing for them.
Very prolific.
Still doing the news.
Recent years. Yeah.
What's that?
You've been very prolific in recent years writing for 35mm.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And I mean, they're like shorter articles, like news stuff, but that's what I like.
Yeah.
Like short and sweet. And it's been a lot of fun getting to know like new things that are coming out and talking to people who are like creating new things. Like there's so many people making cool stuff in just the film photography niche or the alternative photography, like, if it's not film, it's like cyanotypes or like that kind of stuff. So, I mean, that's been cool. And doing the news videos on the YouTube channel. It's been a lot of fun.
Excellent.
But yeah.
And a question that I asked Dave Mahaly, and I don't think I asked Theo this, but got a couple, hopefully this year we'll have a couple of new 35mm cameras coming out. We've got the Pentax Ricoh one and the Mint one. Do you see yourself, you know, shelling out some of your hard-earned money for either of those?
There's no.
In the back catalog waiting for you.
Yeah, but also, it'll depend. I'm kind of down, like, I'm kind of getting more into, like, the cheaper end of cameras.
Yeah.
And like more instant, getting more into like instant stuff as well. So like I kind of want to try some Polaroid.
Yeah, cameras. I was about to ask you about that. Have you done much Polaroid before? Because I can't remember. Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
So all Instax. So I've had like the Instax Mini for ages. Instax Square and Wide, but I've never shot Polaroid, which I know you love Polaroid, right?
I love Polaroid, yeah. I haven't actually, I did a big order of it probably almost 2 years ago now, like 20, 30 boxes, and I've still got half of that in my fridge. So it's chilling nicely, and they all turn out, I'll grab some here. So like here's my daughter. Oh, you can't see how stupid blurring, but there's my daughter, my beautiful daughter.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
There's a dog. Nice. This is a dog at Christmas. Oh, there we go, dog at Christmas. So they all turn. Here's my wife and my son. So they all, like, people trash Polaroid film. It's not as consistent as yeah. Instax, but I really love Polaroid film. And you're basically in the birthplace, almost kind of in the ballpark
yes.
of the birthplace of Polaroid, aren't you?
Yes, Edwin Land.
Yeah.
Boston, so you should be able to, Massachusetts.
You should be able to find loads of hopefully, you know, cheapish Polaroid cameras up there in stores maybe, or on Marketplace, or do you think, or have you seen many?
So I've had a look, and I'm not actually sure which one I want to start with first, because like, I mean, there's the SX70, there's like the 600 ones, there's yeah. the Go, the I-Type, like there's all these different ones. I do like the SX70. I mean, but yeah, so I'm not sure which one I want to go for, but I haven't, the 600 ones, there's loads of deals on eBay. The SX70, not so much though. Those are a little bit more expensive.
But yeah, I think people pay a premium, don't they, for that classic. I mean, it is a beautiful classic camera design. Yeah, I think with the SX70s also, they look like they can work, but quite often there's issues with them, and your pictures will turn out completely blue or stuff like that. The 80s 600 ones, like the one-step 635, all those 80s big black boxy ones, I've never picked up one. I mean, you know, you can, but I've never personally picked up one. I've probably bought 30 of them, never picked up one that didn't work properly. So that's a really good starting place. Yeah. And you can pick them up for like, you should be able to pick them up for 20, 30, 40 bucks, the most, probably even less in America. But yeah, they work great as a starter. And then, the SX70 is definitely one, is a classic for sure.
Yeah. And I like that. So is the XX70, that's the one that you can see through the lens and the focus? You see the focus through the lens?
Yes, correct. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a manual focus camera. All the exposure is automatic and there's a wheel and it goes in and out. So that is the classic camera.
Maybe I'll start with the more reliable 600.
The SX70 does, I think, give better pictures than those other 600 ones, but I guess it just depends. You know, when you buy an SX70, are you buying a cheap camera, or are you buying, if it is cheap, are you buying a cheap camera that works, or are you buying a repair bill? Because that's what happened to me once.
So we'll see. I'm actually, okay, so this is a bit crazy, but I'm actually going to, have you heard of Folicon?
Yeah. Wow, you're going to Folicon. Yeah. Where is it?
So I'm going to the one in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
So I'm actually, do you know this YouTube channel, Just Another Chris?
Rings a bell, but it's enlightened
mostly
me a bit
like
more.
Instant.
Yeah.
Yeah, mostly instant photography. But so I'm actually going out. I'm like visiting Seattle.
Yeah.
And then because we're gonna go to like Policon.
Yeah.
With a bunch of like a couple other people. And so I'm kind of gonna like dip my toes in the Polaroid pool.
Excellent.
And So kind of see. I mean, I know it's expensive, but I don't know. It's because I've been doing so much like film photography, like developing and scanning all at home. And that's a process.
Yeah.
It's nice just to shoot instant sometimes, just
absolutely.
To like, you just get it straight away.
Yeah.
It's so
and
nice.
You can scan it and you're like done and the scanning doesn't take long. And
That's
amazing. Yeah. So when's Policon? Is it early this year, March or something, is it? Or
yeah, so it's mid, I think it's mid-March.
Excellent.
But they do a few different ones.
Yeah.
So they do one in Texas.
Yeah, it's about to say somewhere down in the southwest, isn't there? It's one.
Yeah.
Austin, I don't know, somewhere down there I've heard of one, but yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so maybe if you ever come to the States, you can go to a Policon.
You know,
I would love to.
I actually almost... You know that film? Did you hear that film photography Paideia that happened a few years ago?
Oh,
it was this thing that like a film photography thing happened at the Darkroom Lab in San Clemente.
Oh,
there was a whole load of people went from different, you know, the film photography community, and I was going to go. I really wanted to go to the follow up one, which was in early 2020, but. Early 2020, things kind of fell apart a little. So
something happened there.
Yeah, so it wasn't that good. I would love to come over for one of those things. I'll have to keep that in mind for when I'm visiting North America next time. It's been a long time since I visited North America, so
yeah, you'll have to do your tour, your Matt Loves Camera tour,
it'll be
see
like
all the YouTubers.
It's so big over there. It'll take me months, won't it? And just before we finish up, Molly. Obviously, you spent quite a bit of time in the UK. Is there anything that You know, is there any particular food or anything that, or any TV show that you're missing from the UK that you're kind of having withdrawal symptoms from?
Yes, yes.
Not EastEnders, is it?
Oh, no. No, no. Well, oh, gosh. What was the – oh, my gosh, I'm drawing a blank. I mean, just the – oh, Gogglebox.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Gogglebox. Yeah. You don't have that in America?
Well, I don't have cable at the moment, so
yeah.
I've just got like Netflix and like Prime and stuff. But yeah, the TV shows like Gogglebox, that's always fun. They've got some really cool TV shows, but like for food, we used to have so many amazing Indian food places, just like down the street, or like kebab shops, like kebab and pizzas. Like, I just love that kind of I never had, we didn't have many like Indian restaurants growing up around like New England. And then when I went there, so I started trying all of it for the first time and I just absolutely fell in love. I just, the butter chicken. That's
tomato pakoras and all this cool stuff, onion bhajis. And they're definitely. Well, I'm in a couple of groups, even though I'm Australian. I'm in a couple of Facebook groups here in Australia for British people in Brisbane, and it's funny. One of the most things they whinge about the most is where can I get a good curry, Indian curry here, British curry or Indian curry here in Brisbane? People are like, you can't. Oh, this one's okay, but there's not a patch on it on UK's curries, and so it's funny. And fish and chips is another one. People go, where can I get a decent British fish and chips? Because it's a bit different here in Australia. So
They don't have like, so we have really good fish and chips here in New England seacoast, but it is not the same at all because they don't come with like, you don't like, you know how you can get like curry on the side or like gravy on the side or on top. So like my favorite fish and chips was I know people, not everyone likes this, but like salt and vinegar, of course. And then like gravy on the side. Oh, it's so good.
My wife used to have the fish and chip, like I think it was called a chip special or something. And there was, it had curry sauce along with the fish and chips from her local one. Yep. Very, very British thing. But here in Australia, when you get fish, you can either get it grilled, battered, or what's the other one? I can't remember. But there's three different ones, a crumbed. And every time we go to the fish and chip shop, my wife, who's English, goes, crumb. Crumb fish. I'm bloody battered fish, not crumbed fish. So she gets gets a little bit angry about the Australian fish choices. So wonderful. Well, it does look like a very picturesque part of the world you live in, Molly. I know that, you know, the typical, sort of, you know, the rugged coasts and the lighthouses and stuff. And you're more up in the mountains, are you, where you live, or...?
Yeah, so right now I'm more closer to the like the lakes and the White Mountains.
Oh wow!
In Hampshire. Yeah, so it's awesome. So mountains and lakes. I mean, it is stunning.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So coming into spring, you'll be sorted for beautiful places to go and take photos, I'd say.
Yes. I mean, it's a little bit of a changeover because I'm so used to being in a city.
Yeah.
I've been in cities for so long, and now I'm more in the country, lakeside. So it's like, what do I shoot?
I'm so used to shooting. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for chatting to me today. It was fascinating to hear your desert island cameras list. And can you tell everyone watching or listening where they can find? I mean, I'm sure they already follow you, but if they don't, I think we have quite a bit of a crossover of audience. But tell everyone where they can find you.
Oh, okay. Yes. So Eclectochrome everywhere, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok mostly. Oh, and I do a Substack newsletter too, but that's only once a month, and that's quite like very low key. But yeah, so YouTube and Instagram, that's the main places.
Yeah, and I think I actually had a look at our, like, obviously I've got a Substack as well, and I looked at it one day and there was quite a bit of, a few people from yours had signed up to mine and a few people from mine had signed up to yours.
Yeah.
So that was nice to see a bit of, cross-pollination there of the Substack newsletters.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah.
Lovely. Thank you so much, Molly, and I'll chat to you later on. Thank you.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Hey, have you signed up for my dad's photography newsletter? Check it out at mattlovescameras.substack.com. It features camera reviews, film reviews, and lots of travel photography. You can read it for free, But if you upgrade, you can instantly access 6 film photography zines in PDF format. How wonderful. Check it out now at mattlovescameras.substack.com.
So there you go. There's my beautiful daughter doing the plug for the Substack newsletter. And I like to insert that twice in every podcast. Well, I am at the moment, only because I had to twist her arm, not, you know, figuratively, not literally, to do that for me. Now, speaking about my daughter, she actually went down to see Tay-Tay in Sydney a little while ago. I think I told you guys about that last time I did a Desert Island Cameras. Well, just before the plane was due to land at Gold Coast Airport, I had a little run around the Gold Coast thinking, right, I'm going to shoot two rolls of expired film and shoot it in 1 hour and see what I get. The joke was on me though, because their plane landed early back from Sydney, and all of a sudden Matt Loves Cameras didn't have an hour to shoot two rolls of film. Matt Loves Cameras had like 31 minutes. So it was really kind of stressful. They were both 24 exposure films, and I was 12 shots in when I got the call that my daughter had arrived back at the Gold Coast. So I quickly went round and snapped the other halves of the rolls. I had a roll of Fuji Industrial in my Contax G1 and a roll of Agfa Vista 100 in my Minolta TC1. Both of these films were best before 2009. I thought the Fuji Industrial would hold up pretty well, but I thought the Agfa Vista 100, it's probably going to be trash because I got it at a camera fair in Brisbane. Brisbane is subtropical city, very hot, very humid. Thought there's no chance these are going to turn out. Anyway, I was pleasantly surprised. So if you can, get along to my YouTube and check out those two videos. One's called Fuji Industrial and the other is called Agfa Vista 100. And it was the really cool Agfa Vista 100. It was made in Italy by Film Frania. Or was it Frania? Frania. Anyway, you know who I'm talking about. While I was in China, I shot my March roll for the Frugal Film Project. And you know what? February's results, which I haven't posted yet on YouTube, but I will soon, they're a bit like, meh, they're okay. But March, yeah, I think I'm back in the groove in March, so look out for that soon too. Anyway, that's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed the chat with Molly Kate. I will see you next time. Take care. Cheerio. Bye-bye. Stay safe, everybody.
Ruin that, but it actually sounded pretty good.
Well, thank you.
Oh, okay. Visit coffee.com.